Today's daf is Psachim Daf Nun Gimel, and we are at the Mishnah, 10 lines from the bottom of Daf Nun Gimel Amid Aleph. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus Refuah Shalema, for Shlomo Ben Sara Aliza, Avadya Ben Miriam Leah, Devora Bas Mecha, Shmuel Ben Tehila, Tova Rivka Esther, Bas Hensha Genendel, Bruria Chana, Bas Bracha Rivka, and Doiv Beryl, Ben Devora Miral. Today's daf is being learned as a Schus for Yecheskel Shraga ben Miral and Le'ilu Nishmas Avram ben Yibadol Chaim Toivim Remoisha Chaim. So we're continuing in the sugyas of Perek Shemokim Shenagu, which discuss the halachos of Minhage Yisrael. So there were certain things that certain kehilos had taken upon themselves as a chumrah, but that other kehilos had not taken upon as a chumrah. As a result, says the Mishnah, what should a person do as it relates to those minhagim? So, the halacha is, if you come from a place that took upon themselves a certain chumrah, you have to be noyeg that chumrah. What about if you go mimakim lemakim? So, the rule of the Mishnah was, nois nenol of chumrei makim sheyatza misham, v'chumrei makim shehalach v'sham. The first Mishnah discussed two different types of minhagim, two different types of chumras. The first was with regards to the halacha of doing melacha on Erev Pesach. The second touched on the laws of Shvius. So we're going to continue now and discuss different minhagim as it relates to the rules of Makim Shenagu. Zok to Mishnah, Makim Shenagu, Limkar, Behema, Daka, Lenachrim, Moichrim. In a place where the minig is to sell a Behema Daka, that's a small animal, to a non-Jew. So the halacha is you're allowed to. Makim Shenagu, Limkar. In a place where the minig is not to sell it, Ein Moichrim. So there, the halacha is that you're not supposed to, meaning you follow whatever your minig hamakim is. But everybody agrees this has nothing to do with minig, that a moichrim lehem behem agas. You're not allowed to sell a large animal, a behem agas, to a non-Jew. Additionally, a golem visyachim, an animal that one day is going to be a large animal, even though right now it's small, zeh katan gadol yeh, but the Isser to sell the behema gasa to a non-Jew is true, even if the animal currently is small. Shleimim, it doesn't matter if the animal is a shalim v'shvurim, or if the animal is disabled. Rabbi Yehuda mat v'shvur. Rabbi Yehuda says that if you have an animal that's a shvur that's broken, you are allowed to sell it to a non-Jew. Ben Meseir mat v'sus. Ben Meseir said that even though you're not allowed to sell not large behemoths to a non-Jew, however, a sus, a horse, is something that you would be able to. So what's the background to this halacha? We should have prefaced the Mishnah with this. And that is, there's a sugya Masechtas Avodah Zarah that says that you're not allowed to sell a large animal to a non-Jew. The reason is because we're concerned that if you're going to sell a large animal to a non-Jew, you may then go and lease a large animal to a non-Jew, or loan a large animal to a non-Jew. Okay, doesn't sound like you did anything so terrible. So the Gemara says, no, that's actually a problem. The reason is because if you're going to lease your animal to a non-Jew, or if you're going to loan your animal to a non-Jew, presumably this non-Jew is going to use your animal to do work. Not only is he going to use the animal to do work, he's going to use the animal to do work on Shabbos. On Shabbos, just like I'm not allowed to do malacha, my family is not allowed to do malacha, my avodim are not allowed to do malacha, my behemoths are not allowed to do malacha either. It's what's known in Masechta Shabbos as Shvisas Behema. So being that there's an Isra of Shvisas Behema, if I would take my animal, loan it to a non-Jew, assuming that he's going to now use it on Shabbos, I myself will violate the halacha of Shvisas Behema. So to lease it and to loan it, that's a real problem. The Chachamim took it a step further, and the Chachamim said that if you can't lease it and you can't loan it, then who adin, you shouldn't sell it either. Why? Because of gzeira that you may come to lease it, you may come to loan it. Now, that's obvious that if you sell it, there's no problem with Shvisas Behem anymore. It's not mine. But the reason Chazal had a problem with this was simply because of gzeira. Now, because the Isser is related to the non-Jew doing malacha with your animal, so the only type of animal that's included in this Isser is an animal that will actually do work. So larger animals, behemoths, gasos, they do work. Whereas the behemoth daka, a small animal, is not going to do work. So mi'ikra din, you're not allowed to lease or loan an animal to a non-Jew. That could be a problem in Venisa de Raisa. Sell it is something that Chazal said is also aser. However, Chazal only asked if it's a behema gas. It's an animal that may do work. What about a behema dako? So meikra, then that's not really a problem. However, there were different minhagim in Klal Yisrael. There were mekaymos where they had taken upon themselves the minig, the chumrah, to not sell to a guy even a behema dako. And then there were places where it wasn't a problem. Says the Mishnah, in the spirit of the halachas of makom chenagu, if you live in a city where the minig is to sell the behema dako to an achri, then go ahead and sell it. If you live in a city where the minig is not to sell it, then you shouldn't sell it. The next halacha returns to Masechtas Pesachim. That is Makom Shenagu Lechol Tzlibelei Pesachim. If you live in a place where the minig is to eat roasted food, Belel HaSeder Oichlin, you're allowed to. Makom Shenagu Shaloi Lechol Ein Oichlin. If you live in a place where the minig is not to, then that's something that you're not supposed to do. So this Mishnah, like the previous Mishnah, had a Reisha and a Seifa. In the previous Mishnah, the Reisha dealt with the halachas of Pesach, specifically Erev Pesach, specifically doing Malach on Erev Pesach. The second was a major digression. It spoke about the laws of Shvius, and we had yesterday's daf that dealt with all the halachas of Shvius. Today's daf has a reish and a sefer. The reish is the digression. It deals with a halacha that's really discussed in Masechtas Avodah Zarah, selling behemoths to a non-Jew. The sefer returns to the regular program. It's dealing with a halacha of Pesach, not Erev Pesach, but actually the Leil HaSeder. Specifically, is it okay to eat food that's tzli at the Leil HaSeder, or is it not okay to eat food that's tzli at the Leil HaSeder? Now, our Gemara is not going to discuss the Reish of the Mishnah. It literally passes over the entire Reish of the Mishnah and goes straight into the Seif of the Mishnah. As it relates to the Reish, that's discussed in Sugis and Masechtas Avodah Zarah. Zok to Gemara. So the Mishnah mentioned that there was a minig in Klal Yisrael where people would not eat roasted food, Beleil Pesach. Amar Rav Yehuda Amar Rav, Asa Loi LaAdam Sheyomar, it's awesome for a person to say, Basar Zela Pesach. A person is not allowed to say that I want this meat to be set aside for Pesach. Why? What's the big deal? Because it looks a little bit like you're actually being makdish your behema. You're making it a carbon Pesach, and now you're eating the carbon Pesach outside of the Beis HaMikdash. We don't have a Beis HaMikdash. So obviously, if you would eat kachim cholila today, it would be bachutz. And if you're going to say that I want this meat to be for Pesach, it sounds a little bit, of course it's not what you meant, but it sounds a little bit like maybe you meant to be makdish it, and if you're makdish the basar and you somehow give it some status of carbon Pesach and now you eat it outside, so now you just did something very, very bad. You just violated the laws of Pesach. So said Rabbi Yehuda, my Rav, a very big chiddush. It's also for a person to say, Bizman Hazeh, I want this basar to be for Pesach. Really what you meant was the yontif of Pesach. But it sounds like you wanted to have kedushas carbon Pesach, and now you're running into a problem of kachem machatz. Amr Papa, Papa's a dafka bas. This is only a problem if it's meat, abel chiti. But let's say you say, I want this wheat to be set aside for Pesach. Why? That's not a problem. The mitzvah l'pesach kamar. Because then we assume that what you mean to say is, I just want this wheat to be watched. Because as we saw earlier in the Masechta, that the wheat that's used for matzah has a din ushmatim as a matzah. It had to be watched and had to be guarded. So probably what you're saying when you said that I want this chitin to be for Pesach is I want the chitin to be watched for Pesach. It has nothing to do with kachem mechutz. That's not something that's going to be a problem. Is that true? A person is not allowed to say baser zela Pesach meisavei. I'll ask you a kasha. I'm Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi said tudas ish roimi. Tudas who lived in roimi. Hindigas b'nei roimi lechol gidoyim mikulasa b'leilei psachim. He had the following minute. He told the people in Rome that you should eat by the Leil HaSeder Gidi. And not only should you eat the Gidi, but you should roast it in the same exact way that the Korban Pesach was roasted. So Rashi brings the pasuk that says it was supposed to be Tzli Esh, Al Krov, Al Kirboy, right? With the intestines was supposed to be on its side. So it was done in a very specific formation. So Tudus Ish Roimi had an Einfalt. This is after the Korban. He said that, like as a Zecher to the Korban Pesach, let's take a Gedi, which was the animal, and let's roast it in the same exact way that they used to roast the carbon Pesach. So the Gemara says, Shol Chuloi, they sent Tudus Ish Roimi from Eretz Yisrael to Rome. The following telegram arrived. And it said, quote, El Mole Tudus Ata. We're not for the fact that you're Tudus. He was clearly Tudus. We would put you into Cheirim. Why? Because you're being Michael the Yidin, Kachem Achotz. You're having them eat the carbon Pesach outside of the Beis HaMikdash. So you're having them eat the carbon Pesach outside of the Beis HaMikdash. What was How was this kachem machutz? It wasn't a real carbon pesach. This was chulin. He just told them to eat and prepare the chulin in the same way the carbon pesach was. Elohim, the Gemara says, karav lahachas yisrael kachem machutz. It's right. It wasn't really kachem, but it looks a little bit like it. It smells a little like it. It feels a little like it. And that's enough kachem machutz, and chum weren't happy with what Tudus did. Okay, what does that have to do with us? You see, from here, makulas in, she'em makulas loy. It sounds like the problem with what Tudus did was, is that this animal was being roasted in the same exact way as the Karban Pesach was. And it was for that reason he had a problem. It sounds like, had it not been roasted in that way, it wouldn't have been an issue, which doesn't stem with what Rabbi Yehuda Merab said, because I'm Rabbi Yehuda Merab, Asalei la'adam she'yoymar, basar zala Pesach. You're not even allowed to say basar zala Pesach. Forget about roasting it in that exact way. Simply to say basar zala Pesach is a problem. From the exchange between Tudus Yishroimi and the Chachamim and Eretz Yisrael, it sounds like the whole problem is dafka if it's makulas, but if it wouldn't be makulas, it wouldn't be an issue. So the Gemara says, no, really, it's not true. Ami Mekulis, as it relates to Mekulis, Loishna, Amar, Loishna, Loyamar. In the case of Tudus Yishroimi, he never said, or he never told the people, I want you to declare that this meat is going to be for a carbon Pesach, or not carbon Pesach, even for Pesach. All he did was, is he told them that, you want to know what you should serve for Shulchan Aruch by the Leila Seder? This is what you should serve. It had nothing to do with saying. Over there, if you didn't say, I want the basa to be for Pesach, the only time it's going to be an issue is if it's Mekulas. However, as it relates to She'ena Mekulas, Pirishin, Loi Pirish Loi. Yeah, but as it relates to Eina Mekulas, there, if you mafarish it, it's going to be an issue. In other words, there's two separate issues. Number one, you're not going to say, I want the basa to be for Pesach. That's what Rav Yehuda Merab was talking about. And then there's another idea. Even if you didn't say that I want it to be for a carbon Pesach, but if you're going to prepare the meat, mikulas, which looks and reminisces the carbon Pesach, that in and of itself is going to be an issue. So, Rav Acha said over this halacha of Tudus, meaning this that the Chachamim had a problem with what Tudus did in the name of Rav Shimon. Meaning, if you go back to the Braisa on Omen Aleph, three lines from the bottom, it's Omer Rav Yoisi. Tudus Yishroimi. Rav Yoisi was the one that reported this story. Rav Yoisi, who we know, in addition to being the great scholar Rav Yoisi, Nimukayima, he was also a historian. He's the author of the Seder Olam. He's Rav Yoisi ben Kalafta. So Rabbi Yossi, who often would tell stories, he was a historian, quote unquote. So we have the Bryce as if Rabbi Yossi is the one that said it. But Rabbi Acha had a different gersa. He said it wasn't Rabbi Yossi that said it, but rather it was Rabbi Shimon. As in Rabbi Shimon Ba'ichai, he was the one that said this. So Maskel for Rabbi Sheish, it's Rabbi Sheish, that's a Kach Bishop, not the tongue of Rabbi Yossi, Nicha Bishop, according to the gersa that we have in the Bryce. That was Rabbi Yossi that said it. Beseder. If Rabbi Yossi said it, Rabbi Yossi said it. There's no reason to have any issue with Rabbi Yossi saying it. But according to the one that had the Gerusa that this was Rabbi Shimon Ba'yachai, how does that make any sense? But Tanan, we learned in the Mishnah Masechtas Menachas, Rabbi Shimon, Poiter Shaloi Hisnadev, Hiderech HaMisnadvin. The context over there is an obscure halacha in Masechtas Menachas. Most Menachas came from Chitin, not Sa'orim. What would be if somebody donates a mincha and says, Harei olai mincha menasa oirin. I want the mincha to be a mincha sa'orim. Now, a personal, individualized minchas nadava had to be chitin. So if he's going to say, Harei olai mincha menasa oirin, really lo yomar klom, at garnish gazak. Because you can't have a mincha menasa oirin. So by saying, I want the mincha to be a menasa oirin, he botched up, because the mincha has to be chitin. And based on that, you would think that maybe it shouldn't be okay. Stating that, it was a machlokes tanah. Rav Shimon Shita is poiter. You have no obligation to go ahead now and bring a carbon mincha. Why? So he said, because your nusach that you used to make this nadava wasn't the right nusach. You said, there's no mincha that's brought menas oirim. The carbon mincha is supposed to be brought dafka menachitin. Okay, so what do you see from here? That Reb Shimon is very particular in terms of how you make something hektish. It's not enough to insinuate. It's not enough to make the hektish biramiza. You have to be menadev kiderech hamisnadvin. You have to get it right literally to the T. If that's the case, this person who's preparing his yontif meal and he says, I want this meat to be for Pesach. Was he menadev kiderech hamisnadvin avadanish? Or if you're going to go now and you're going to take the Gedi, that's not hektish, and you're going to roast it, but it's going to be mekulas. Are you going to tell me that this is a problem of kachem achutz? Is it even doimet to kachem achutz? You are misnadev, kiderech hamisnadvin. So bishlam, according to the chachamim that hold that when it comes to being makdish something, even if you get it a little bit right, dai lechakima biramiza, yesh yad lehektish, etc., etc. Okay, so I could hear that maybe the definition of how you make something hektish is very, very liberal. Okay, so maybe taking a gdi and roasting it in the same way the Karban Pesach was, that's already doimet to kachim. It's like, you know why you would have a problem. But according to Rav Shimon Bar Yochai, who holds shelo yisnadiv kiderech hamisnadvin, it means you have to get it 100% right. There has to be a klara bitui in terms of making this hektish. If that's the case, if harei olai mincha min asoirin is nisht hektish, then how could it be that if somebody takes a gedi, mekulos, below Pesach, that would be hektish? That's the Gemara's kasha. Meaning, so bishloimo, if the one who said over this price that the Chum had a problem with tudus was the Rabbi Yossi, so it's very good. I have no information about Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi should object to this. But Rabbi Shimon, we have another Rabbi Shimon. We have a Rabbi Shimon that's quoted throughout Seder Kachnim. Shelo yisnadiv kiderech hamisnadvin. How would this story stim with Rabbi Shimon? Shitom li Ravina l'Rav Ashi. So Ravina told Rav Ashi, "Man, the master look, Rav Yosef, it's interesting. You have a problem with the Girsna being Rav Shimon, and as if according to Rav Yosef, it would be okay." But my Rava said, "Rav Shimon, b'shitas Rav Yosef Yamra." It just so happens that Rav Shimon, who said a reilai mincha min asa'irin, that loy omar klum, why not shloy hisnadiv kiderech hamisnadvin? You know who he was going like? He said a b'shitas Rav Yosef Yamra af bigmar dvor of adam nitfas. There's a major machlokes in Shas. If a person says something, and the beginning of what he said and the end of what he said, the reisha and the seifa contradict each other. So from the reisha of what he said, it sounds a little one way, and then from the seifa, it sounds a little bit another way. So it's machlokes in terms of halacha, how you're supposed to look at it. Tafas lashon rishon, tafas lashon achron. Rabbi Yosi's shita is af bigvar d'mar of adam nitfas. You're always supposed to take the last thing into consideration. Meaning, you listen to the first thing that he said, but you also take the last thing that he said into consideration. Rava said that Reb Shimon, who said a real like chitim and asa'irin, is not considered a good lashon of being mekabel to bring a karbon mincha, is going to leave it to Rabbi Yosi, who holds af bigvar d'mar of adam nitfas. Meaning, if you would only look at Tafas Lashon Rishon, so he would say, Areolai Mincha. Now you have to bring a Karbon Mincha. The problem is, at the end, he said Menasa Oiren. So once he said Menasa Oiren, so he messed it up. But it's clear, Rava said, that Reb Shimon's halacha was going Alibi the Rabbi Yossi. So says the Gemara, my love, Reb Shimon's halacha like Rabbi Yossi. Rabbi Yossi Namas halacha like Reb Shimon. It sounds like Reb Shimon holds like Rabbi Yossi. Rava said that. Then Rabbi Yossi probably holds like Reb Shimon as well. If that's the case, if what the Chachamim are telling Tudus doesn't work Alibi the Reb Shimon, it shouldn't work Alibi the Rabbi Yossi either. So why did you have a problem with the Gersa being Rav Shimon and not Rav Yosi, Mamonav Shach? If you have a problem with Rav Shimon, you have a problem with Rav Yosi. Had it been Rav Yehuda or Rav Tarfin or Rav Yakiva, maybe we're not having a problem. But it just so happens, both Tanoim that may have been the author of this Braisa, it doesn't stem with, based on your logic. If you have a problem with being Rav Shimon, you have to have a problem with it being Rav Yosi, because Rav Shimon based his halacha with Rav Yosi. Now, Rav Shimon based his halacha with Rav Yosi. Rav Yosi never said, or no Amayra ever said, Rav Yosi was like Rav Shimon, right? Rav Shimon said the halacha, that when it comes to making something hektish, you have to get it right. Shelo yisnadiv kiderech hamisnadvin, that's not considered hektish. Based on Rav Yosi's shita, that we look at the Lashon Achron. Okay, we have no information that Rav Yosi ever said Rav Shimon, but the Gemara is assuming that if Rav Shimon bases halacha on Rav Yosi, so if Rav Yosi holds Rav Yosi's halacha, he probably holds like Rav Shimon as well. But the Gemara says, loy, it's not mukach. Rav Shimon sovel like Rav Yosi, but however, the loy Rav Yosi sovel like Rav Shimon. Shimon holds a Rav Yosi. That's what Rava said. In order to say Shlo Yisnadi Kederech HaMisnadvin, you have to take on Rav Yosi. But it's not Muchach anyway that Rav Yosi holds like Rav Shimon. Zok de Gemara. I Bayalu. Actually, before we go weiter, so why did we bring this in? Why are we telling this story about Tudus Ishroimi and the Chachamim and the problem that they had with him? Because the Mishnah said, Halacha, Makim Shenagu Lechol Tzni Belele Psachim Oichlin, Makim Shenagu Shaloi Lechol Ein Oichlin. That there were different Minhagim and Klai Yisrael about eating roasted meat at the Leil HaSeder. Some did, some didn't. What would be the reason? The reason is this halacha that we just said. Because Chazal were worried about this slippery slope. They didn't want it to ever appear that when you're sitting at the Leil HaSeder after Churban Beis HaMikdash or not in the presence of the Beis HaMikdash, as if you're eating basa from the Karban Pesach. Because the Karban Pesach at the end of the day was a carbon, and a carbon has to be eaten dafka with certain halachas. You can't just eat a carbon in Rome. So if that's the case, you have to be very sensitive. And Chazal didn't want you to take a gdi and to roast it the way the Karban Pesach was roasted in that same exact formation. Chazal didn't want you to say, I want this basar to be for Pesach, because even though you mean the yantiv of Pesach, but it shmecks a little bit like maybe you mean the Karban Pesach. So it was because of that there were kehilos that took this idea and they ran with it. And they just added layers of chumras to that. So much so that there were places that they wouldn't even eat roasted meat. Why? because the Korban Pesach had to be kiyum tzliyeh. It had to be roasted. And being that there were minhagim of such places, so therefore people didn't do it. And that's why the Mishnah mentions in the world of Makom Chenagu, there was a Makom Chenagu, lechot tzni b'lei lipsachim, and then there was a Makom Sheloi Nagu. What's the halacha? You follow whatever your minhag al-makom is. Incidentally, what's the minhag b'zman hazeh? So it's Aloch and Shulchan Aruch. The Mechaber in Siman Tafai involved in Hilchos Pesach says, Makom Shenagu Lechol Tzli B'Lei Leipsachem Oichlin. Makom Shenagu Shenloi Lechol Ein Oichlin. Why? Says the Shulchan Aruch, Zer Hashem Yoimru Basam Pesachu. It's a Zer that people might say that this meat that you're eating is a Korban Pesach. Zok the Mishnah Brura quoting the Magen Avram, Ube'elu Aratzois, nowadays in Unzura, Medinois, Ein Noyagin Lechol Tzli B'Shnei HaLeilis. The minig is not to eat roasted meat, not only by the first Seder, even by the second Seder. Says the Mishnah Brura, and that's true even if you're going to roast it in a pot, which was not the way the Korban Pesach was roasted, meaning you can't circumvent this and come up with different ways to do it. This is a very strong minig. It's a Mishnah Makom Shenagu, and he says today, all the Ratzos have the minig that this is not something we do, and based on that, it's a pretty open and shut halacha Shulchan Aruch. We do not eat roasted meat at the Leil HaSeder, where this is negate that the poskim just speak out, stating the obvious, and that is the Zeraya, which is one of the minim that we have on the Ka'ara. So that's Zeicha for the Korban Pesach. That's roasted. So people eat the Zeraya, but you can't eat the Zeraya at the Leil HaSeder. At the Leil HaSeder, you're not allowed to eat it. Why? Because it's roasted. And this is halacha Shulchan Aruch. You can cook your meat, then you can grill your meat. Ask your local rabbi, but in terms of preparing the meat, even if it's not a gedim makulas, which probably it isn't, and even if you never said, I want bosses el Pesach, this is based not on what the Gemara said, but based on the Chumri Yisera that the Mishnah mentioned, that there were Mekoymos that were Noyak Shaloi Lechol, and Be'elu Aratzis nowadays, all places are considered places where the minig is not to eat. It's up to the Gemara. So we mentioned Tudus Ishraimi. Tundus and Shroimi took on this minig for the Chevron in Rome. He told them, take your gdi, do it literally, Roshay al Krav, al Kirbay, and roast it the way the Korban Pesach was roasted. And Chama were not happy with what he did. In fact, the Chachamim said as follows, El mole Tudus ato, we're not to the fact that you're a Tudus, Gozarni alechonide, we'd put you into Cheir. But they didn't put him into Cheir. Why not? Because he was Tudus. Says the Gemara, Ibailu, what was so unique about Tudus that they didn't want to put him in Cheir? Tudus ish roimi, gavur rabba hava. Was he a gavur rabba? He was just very choshen. And because he was a gavur rabba, they didn't want to put him in cherem, like we saw in yesterday's daf. And that is sometimes a gavur rabba, Talmud Chacham, was not put into cherem. Meaning it's because you're so choshev, so we're going to be lenient to you. Oi, bala greifen hava. Maybe to the contrary. Maybe he was tough. He was rough. They didn't want to start up with him. Meaning, was Tudus very chashuv? Or maybe Tudus was a bala greif? Either way, they weren't starting up with him. Question is why? Mitzad his chashivus? Or maybe to the contrary? Gemara Toshma, I'll bring you a right. Because oidu daris Tudus ishroimi. There was another drasha that Tudus ishroimi daris. Ma rochanayim mishal vazario. Shemasu ratzmal kedushas Hashem. L'kif shanoeish. Chananyim mishal vazario lived during Golos Bavel. They lived during the 70 years between the destruction of the first Beis HaMikdash and the building of the second Beis HaMikdash. They lived in Bavel. The king in Bavel during their lifetime was Nebuchadnezzar. And the Pasuk says that Nebuchadnezzar at one point erected this massive statue and he wanted everybody to bow down to him. Somehow, that was something that meant a lot to him. And a lot of Yidden, unfortunately, were nichshol, but there were three Yidden, Chananya, Mishael, Azariah, that they refused to. Nebuchadnezzar wasn't happy and he threatened them with their lives. He said, if you don't listen, if you don't obey my command, we're going to throw you into a fire. Chananya, Mishael, Azariah were prepared to be thrown into a fire. They were thrown into a fire. And as we say, they were saved. A tremendous miracle happened. And just like Avram Avinu, who was thrown into the Kivshon Ha'esh by Nimrod, he emerged alive. Chananya, Mishael, Azariah had the same thing. So Tudus Ishraim said the following drasha. Ma ro Chananya, Mishael, Azariah, Shemasru Atzman al Kedushas Hashem leKivshon Ha'esh. What was their impetus? Meaning, had they realized that the right thing to do was to jump into the Kivshon Ha'esh? What gave them the chizik to do it? So, look, the Gemara, also Kal V'Chaimer Batzman. They made a Kal V'Chaimer Mitzvardin from the frogs of this week's parsha of Parshas Va'erafim. Mitzvardin, Sheim Mitzvah and Antushas Hashem Ksibu V'Alu Uval B'Veisecho B'Tanu Rechum Misharisecho. The pasuk says that Hashem told Moshe to tell Paroi that the second Makkah is going to involve the frogs, the Tzvardim, and the Tzvardim are going to come, they're going to enter the house of all the Mitzrim, and they're going to be Beveisecha, Ubechada Meshkofcha, in their bedrooms, Vamitoscha, in their beds, Ubeveis Avodecha, Uvamecha, Uvetanurecha, Ubemesharisecha. Tanur is an oven. Mishari Secha, that's the basin, that's the trough where the dough was kneaded to make the challah to put into the oven. So, Imasai Misharis Mitsuyas Eisel Tanur. When is the Misharis? When are those troughs next to the tanur? Have you ever seen tanur cham? Probably when the tanur is cham, you're about to bake, so the tanur is very hot. So what do you see from there? That the tzvardin were prepared and actually did go into the tanurim. They went into the ovens at the time that the oven was very hot. Meaning they were moisenaf nefesh. This they were willing to give up their lives. So Chanani Mishal Vazari made a kal v'chomer. If the tzvardim were willing to give up their lives, anush mitzvah al kedushas Hashem, us who have a mitzvah of kedushas Hashem, alachas kama v'kat, meaning madach the tzvardim that don't have a mitzvah of kedushas Hashem, were willing to give up their lives. We who have a mitzvah of kedushas Hashem, certainly we should be willing to give up our lives. Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abin, Amar Rabbi Yitzchak Bar Abin says, matol melei lekisha tamid chachamim hoya. You want to know who Tudus Hashemi was? He used to support tamid chachamim. Amar Rabbi Yochanan, Rabbi Yochanan said, kol matol melei lekisha tamid chachamim. Anyone that supports tamid chachamim zoicha v'yoyish v'yishiv v'shal. He's going to have a place in the next world in the yeshiva shalmaila. Then if you want to be able to be in the tzel of chachma, you can enter the world to come through the tzel hakesef. Either way, the Gemara just brought two sources that Tudus Ishraimi was a gaver rabba. Number one, Oidzu Darash, Tudus Ishraimi. He darshan the drasha. Not only a drasha, an epic drasha. One of the most famous drashas in Shas. He's the one that said that the reason Hanani Mishal Vazari jumped into the Kivshan Eish, it was a kal v'chomer from the Tzvardim. Rabbi Yossi Bar Abin said that you want to know the rest of the story? You want to know who Tudus Ishraimi is? He was someone that used to help Talmid Chachamim financially, and if someone helps Talmid Chachamim financially, Zoicha v'Yoicha v'Yeshiva Shalmaila. Either way, the Gemara was pushed at the Ibaya. The question was, why did Chachamim not want to start up a Tudus Ishraimi? Is it because he was so chashiv, or is it because he was so tough? They were pashut afraid of him. So the Gemara, Tashma, you see, from the drasha of Tudus Ishraimi, and what from Rabbi Yossi Bar Abin said, that Tudus Ishraimi was chashiv. If that's the case, the reason they didn't want to put him in Cheir was simply because he was very chashiv. Another mission, and then we're going to get back to this. If you live in a place where the minhag is to light candles, b'leil Yom Kippur, you can. Now, obviously, it doesn't mean light the candle b'leil Yom Kippur. What it means is light the candle erev Yom Kippur and have it lit in your house b'leil Yom Kippur. Malkam Shanagu Shalai Lahadik. If you live in a place where the minhag is not to aim madlikin, then you're not allowed to madlikin b'ati kinesis b'ati midrashes. You're certainly allowed to light candles b'leil Yom Kippur in a base haknesis, base medrash, ubin mevoyo yiso hafeilim of Masechtas Erevin fame, or if you're in a dark alleyway, val gabi hacholim, or for a chaylas. It seems that there were places where the minhag was to light candles, or to have candles lit, b'leil Yom Kippur, to a place is that not. Zok Tigmar Tana, Bein Sha'amr Lahadlik, Upein Sha'amr Shloi Lahadlik, both Minhagim, the Minig, where places would dafka light candles, b'leil Yom Kippur, and the Minig, where there were places that people did not light candles, Shneim L'dabrech and Neskavnu. They were both trying to accomplish the same thing. Amr Rabbi Shua, he expounded on this a little bit, then we'll explain. Darash Rava, Ma'amech Kulam Tzadikim, La'olam Yirshu Aretz. So which halacha do we learn from this pasuk? Kol Yisrael yesh lam chelik loylam habash. And Eva v'amich kulam tzadikim loylam yeshu aretz. Neitzim atoy masi yodai lispa. It's not different than that pasuk. So said Rava, b'ein shomer lahadlik, or b'ein shomer shalei lahadlik, shneim loy nischavnu elu davarech. Meaning, kol Yisrael yesh lam chelik loylam habash. You know why? V'amich kulam tzadikim, klai Yisrael, they're tzadikim b'nei tzadikim. And both minhagim, yeah, to light candles, loyl Yom Kippur, not to light candles, loyl Yom Kippur, was coming from that place. It was L'dover Echad Nischavnu, but not just L'dover Echad like the Bryson says, but with Rabbi Yeshua's Knech, from a very, very good place. It's coming from a place of Va'amich Kulam Tzadikim. So what is this all about? So Rashi says that what this is all about is one of the things that a person is not allowed to do, but L'Yom Kippur, is Tashmish Amita. And Chazal wanted to make sure that people would not be Nichshol in Tashmish Amita. And there were two thoughts of what you should do. One thought was, you should have Neiroi Stolkois. There should be candles lit. Why? Because if there's Neiroi Stolkois, it's a Nissa Tashmish Amita. So if you can have candles lit like this, you won't have a problem. Others felt just the opposite. What you should do is make sure there's no light. If there's no light, you won't see. If there's no ayin raya, so there's no lev chaymed, you're not going to end up having taiva. So both minhagim were coming from the same place. It was va'amech kulam tzadikim. They wanted to prevent tashmish amita b'leil Yom Kippur on the Yom HaKadosh. The question was, what's the right way to do it? And from there, was hatched these two minhagim. Amar Rabbi Yehuda, Amar Shmuel, Imam Markan Alar, El B'matzei Shabbos. And the Gemara is going to do a little bit of a digression. Another classic Gemara. This Gemara is going to go deep into tomorrow's daf, and we'll talk about it a lot in tomorrow's daf. But just to make us chol, Rabbi Yehuda said the name of Shmuel, Imam Markan Alar. You don't make a bracha on Ar, on fire, El B'matzei Shabbos. So one of the things we do when we make Avdallah is we make a bracha on the fire. So Rabbi Yehuda said in the name of Shmuel that the only time you make this bracha is on Matzei Shabbos. Why? Because Eish, fire, was created on Mitzvah Shabbos. And because it was created on Mitzvah Shabbos, that's why we make the brach on Mitzvah Shabbos. So we know Hashem created the world in 6 days, and then there were 10 things that were created, Ben Hashmashes, and then Ba Shabbos, Ba Menucha, right? But the rest of the story is that there was something that was created on Mitzvah Shabbos, and that was fire. And because fire was created on Mitzvah Shabbos, it's precisely for that reason that we make the brach on Mitzvah Shabbos. You're saying very good. Rabbi Yochanan said the same thing. So Yehuda said this in the name of Shmuel, and he got a haskama from Ahu Saba. Zok Tigmar, Ula have a rach of chamra. Ula was once riding his donkey. Rabbi Shalkav Azul, Rabbi Abba Mimine, Rabbi Barbara Chana Mesmoel. Rabbi Abba was to his right, and Rabbi Barbara Chana was to his left. So Ula's on the chamar, he's on the donkey. Rabbi Abba's on one side, Rabbi Chana's on the other side. Omele, Rabbi Abba to Ula. Vali Damrita Meshmeid, Rabbi Yochanan, is it true that you said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan, Eim Avarchan Allah, Erlob Maitzoy Shabbos, that the only time you ever make Timbrach Abayr Mari Esh is Matzoy Shabbos, Hoyu Vetchilas Briyasayu, being that that's the time that it was created. So the Gemara says, So Ula turned to Rabbi Barbar Chana and he gave him a look. So Rabbi Barbar Chana understood what Ula's look meant, because Rabbi Abba, again, was suggesting to Rabbi Barbar Chana that he had said that he heard from Rabbi Yochanan that the only time you make a Bayer Mari Esh is on Matzah Shabbos. So Ula turns to Rabbi Barbar Chana, like, you said that? Like, he wasn't happy. So Rabbi Barbar Chana got very defensive. He says, no, it's not what I said. I'm being completely misquoted over here. Elaha Amri. I said something similar, but not that. The Tani, Tani came to Rabbi Yochanan. There was once a Tani that was in front of Rabbi Yochanan. He said as follows: Rav Shimon Allah Zayim Yemik Bunch Chalis and Shabbos from Kippur falls on Shabbos. Afim Makan Shabbos Shloim LaHadlik. Even in a place where the minig is not to light candles, as we saw in our Mishnah, there were places where there were no Neiris Dolkis Hillel Yom Kippur, but Madlikim, they covered Shabbos. Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos, there's an Indian of covered Shabbos, and one of the things we do for covered Shabbos is we light candles. So then already the right thing to do is to light candles. For only Rabbi Yochanan Masrei, it's Rabbi Yochanan said, this is what I said. I said, Rabbi Yochanan said, the Chachamim Oisrim, that the Chachamim say it's not okay. So I don't know, whoever's quoting me is misquoting me. I said over something about candles, Shabbos, not making the bracha b'yirim ma'irei esh on Matzoy Shabbos, but rather lighting candles on Yom Kippur, even when your minig is not to light candles on Yom Kippur, when Yom Kippur falls out on Shabbos. Amalei, so he told him, Ada. Oh, that I agree with. Meaning Ula was very fine with that. Oh, that I agree with. So Tamar Karli Rav Yosef, where Rav Yosef heard this story, so he quoted the following pasuk: Mayim amukim eitz abalevish veish tfuah yedlena. Pasuk, what the pasuk means is Mayim amukim eitz abalevish. A person's eitz could sometimes be like very, very deep water, but veish tfuah, a clever person yedlena, he knows how to take that eitz out. So he teaches the pasuk as follows: Mayim amukim eitz abalevish. That Ula turned to Rabbi Barbar Chana. And he looked at him in a way where he was angry. Now, he didn't tell Rabbi Barbar Chana why he was angry. Why was he angry? Because it seemed like Rabbi Barbar Chana had said in the name of Rabbi Yochanan that you only make the bracha b'yir mari esh on Matzoy Shabbos. And he looked at him as if he was very, very disappointed. But again, he didn't tell him why he was disappointed. Rabbi Barbar Chana knew. Not only did he know, he defended himself. Zokti Gemara, v'ish tfuni yidlena, said Rabbi Barbar Chana. He knew how to understand and to interpret the body language, literally, of Ula. And he's the ish tfuna who is able to extract that mayim amukim that's belevish. Zokti Gemara, v'inu k'man safru. Who do they hold like? Meaning, it seems like Rabbi Yochanan, maybe, and certainly Ula, and Rabbi Barbar Chana, they hold that you could make a Bar Mariesh, even not a Matzoy Shabbos. We say the only time you make it is on Matzoy Shabbos. Why? Because that's when it was created. If that's when it was created, that's when you make the bracha. By the way, what Shaychis? We'll see in tomorrow's daf. But that's what they held. But these Amiram fell not that way. You can even make an Adam Mitzoy Shabbos. So the Gemara says, they held, Ki Hod Amir Abinyam, Bar Yafas Amir Abiyochanan, Nevarchan Alo Ar, Bein Mitzoy Shabbos, Vein Bein Mitzoy Yom Kippur. You don't only make the Bracha Mitzoy Shabbos, but you make a Mitzoy Shabbos and a Mitzoy Yom Kippur, V'chein Amadvar, and that's also the Minig in Klai Yisrael, which it is. And the Minig is to make it not only a Mitzoy Shabbos, but to also make it a Mitzoy Yom Kippur. What would be the Sfarah to make it also a Mitzoy Yom Kippur? Okay, if the only time you make it is Matzah Shabbos, because that's when it was created. What's Matzah Shabbos, Matzah Yom? Those are two times that you're not allowed to use art. It's one of the malachas. So you're not allowed to be mishtamish with art on Shabbos. Therefore, Mitzoy Shabbos, that you are, you make the bracha on Bayim Ariyesh. Yom Kippur is the same thing. If it's because that's when it was created, that would be exclusive to Shabbos and have nothing to do with Yontif. But being that it has nothing to do with when it was created, so Mimela, anytime it's also to use art, Shabbos, that's why when you make Havdalah, Mitzoy Yontif, you don't take Bayim Ariyesh. Why? Because there's no Isalay Savaro Esh, Bechom Esh Veisechem Vien HaShabbos on Yontif. So on Yom Kippur, where there's no Esh, you make the bracha of Bayim Ariyesh. And on Shabbos, when there's no Esh, you make the bracha of Bayim Ariyesh. One more Gemara. Meisvei, Eim Avarchan Adlar, El Meitzoy Shabbos, Hayot Betchilas Briyasei Hu. The only time you're supposed to make a bracha on Ar is Meitzoy Shabbos. Why? Because that's when it was great. Bekimit Shiroi, Mevarich Miyah. And as soon as you see fire, you make a bracha. I mean, if you're walking home from Shul on Shabbos, and you say you see a fire, you pick your fingers up, Baruch Atah Hashem, Elokeinu Melech HaOlam, Bayim Ariyesh. Rabbi Yehuda, I mean, no, Sayyidina Kais, that's not true. You're always supposed to make it on the kais. I'm Rabbi Yehuda. The problem is, Allah is Rabbi Yehuda. And Rabbi Yehuda said, Allah is like Rabbi Yehuda. Bottom line is, you see from here, that Rabbi Yehuda and Paskin like Rabbi Yehuda in this braisa, who's clearly of the opinion that the only time you make the Bayer Meriah Esh is on Mitzoy Shabbos. They're arguing if you make it as soon as you see it, or if you make it Allah kais. But for sure, you only make it Mitzoy Shabbos. How does this stim with what Rabbi Yehuda said? Mevarchen ala or bein b'maytzoy Shabbos, bein b'maytzoy Yom Kippur. The Gemara like Kasha, kam ba'or shavas, kam ba'or hayoytzim mino etzim umino avonim. If you had an or that was shavas the entire Shabbos, or if you had an or that was shavas the entire Yom Kippur, then you would always make the bayim meriyesh. So if you have an or, you have one yardside lech that was light the entire Yom Kippur. Then Mitzoy Yom Kippur, even though it's not Matzah Shabbos, you would make the bracha. However, if you're going to create a fire on Mitzoy Yom Kippur, then you wouldn't make a bracha. So as it relates to a new fire that you created, that's only Mitzoy Shabbos. Why? Because that was Tchilas Briyasai. If you have an Ar Sheshavas, then being that that Ar you weren't allowed to use on Yom Kippur, now you're allowed to use it. So you have the Svara of the Havdalah between Yom Kippur and Mitzoy Yom Kippur, then you would make the Bayir Mariyosh. But the distinction is it an Arsha Shavas or is it not an Arsha Shavas? Zok Dimar, Tani Chada, one Braisa says, Ara Yoitzman, Ezman, Abalim, Mavarchan Olav. But Tani Chada went to another Braisa, Eim, Mavarchan Olav, that's a Stira. Zok Dimar, like Kasha, Kam Mitzoy Shabbos, Kam Mitzoy Yom Kippur. Mitzoy Shabbos, in new R, you would make the Bracha. Why? Because that's when it was created. Mitzoy Yom Kippur, you wouldn't make it on a new fight. You have an Arsha Shavas, yeah. But if it wasn't an Arsha Shavas, then not Rebbe, Mefazrin, Rebbe would stack the brachas of Havdalah. Meaning he would make the Bayim Ariyesh as soon as he saw fire. And then, when it came time to make Havdalah, he would take out the Besamim and the Geffen, Reb Chiya Mechansan. He would make them all together. Even though Rebbe was Mephazer them, he would scatter them. But when it came time to make Havdalah, he would make the bracha again. Meaning he would make the Bayim Ariyesh as soon as he saw fire, but then afterwards he would make it a second time. By the way, in a world where there was no electricity, so you saw fire, presumably, even before you made Havdalah. So as soon as there was fire, immediately, Vayihiyar, he would make a Bayim Ariyesh. However, Rebbe would chazer it over, says, so that he can be Moitzi, his family, exhale. So just two Ha'aras, as it relates to today's daf. A shorter Ha'ara, and then a longer Ara. The shorter Ha'ara is the Gemara was discussing Tudus Ish Raimi. So the Gemara said, Tudus Ish Raimi, he had instituted a minig in Rome, and that is that the Yidin, Zecha for the Karban Pesach, at the Leila Seder, they should take a Gdi, and they should roast it in the way that the Karban Pesach was roasted. And the Chama were very not happy about it. In fact, Sholchulai, they sent the following message. Ilmole Tudus Ata, we're not for the fact that you're a Tudus, Gozarnu Alecho Nidoy, we would turn you into Cherem. Why? Shata Meichel Es Yisrael Kachem Machutz. Because you're causing the Yidin to eat Kachem Machutz. No, but it was the car of the Kachem Machutz. And then the Gemara had a Shaila. Who was Tudus Ish Raimi? And why is it that the Chachamim were afraid to put him in Cherem? It sounds like, really, they were ready to put him in Cherem. What he did was an offense that warranted the punishment of Cherem. However, he was Tudus. And because he was Tudus, it wasn't something that they were willing to do. The question is, what was it about Tudus? It wasn't the fact that he was so Chashiv, or to the contrary, was it the fact that they were afraid of him? He was Bali Agroifim. So the Gemara says, now you know for sure he was Chash. How do you know? Because number one, he said a drasha, and then the Gemara said, Rabbi Yisrael Rabban Amar, Yisrael Rabban, in fact, said about him, Matul Malay Lakisha Tamidi Chachamim Haya. He was someone that used to help support Tamidi Chachamim, says the Gemara, and in fact, Rabbi Yoichan said that that's very Chash. It's called Matul Malay Lakis, Tamidi Chachamim. If somebody helps Tamidi Chachamim financially, Zoichan V'Yoshiv, be yeshiva shalmaila. He's going to be zoicha, and he's going to sit be yeshiva shalmaila. I think this Gemara is very, very matin with the hafla in Panim Yafis that we spoke at a few days ago. The Gemara said that Rav Shulman Levi had a son that was chalash. He was sick, and he went into a state of a coma. He had some out-of-body experience, and he came back to life. And Rav Shulman Levi asked his son, Bini, my son, tell me, what did you see when you were on the other side? So he told him, Olam Hafechro, you see, El Yainam Lamata, El Yainam Lamayla. And then he told him, the Shamati, and I heard, Shayu Oimen, they used this, they were saying, Ashrei Misha Balakan, Vitamuda Biyadai. Praise is someone that comes to this side, and Vitamuda Biyadai, and he had learned Torah. So he mentioned from that flaw said, what's the Pshat, Ashrei Misha Balakan, Vitamuda Biyadai? So that flaw said, because just like this Torah in this world, this Torah in the next world as well. And in the next world, a person has the ability to understand a lot more than he was able to understand in this world. In fact, Chafetz Chaim used to say that all the Torah that a person learns in this world that he doesn't understand, when he comes into the Olam HaEmes, it's all going to make sense. And he's going to understand it on the deepest of deep levels. So said the Hafla, that's the Pshat in the Baskel. Shamati Shayu Oimrim Ashrim Misha Balakam V'Tamudah B'Yadai. How fortunate is someone that comes to the other side, V'Tamudah B'Yadai. Because in the other world, there's going to be Torah, and it's going to be Dveikus Vakadosh Baruch Hu, and it's going to be a feeling of euphoria that we can't even begin to understand. And in order to be able to experience that, a person will have to come with Torah. So he said, Shamati Shayu Oimrim Ashrei Misha Balakan V'Tamudah B'Yadai. That's what people were saying. You want to know what's from Geret in the Geselach and Shanayim? Ashrei Misha Balakan V'Tamudah B'Yadai. Because someone that comes with Torah, he's someone that's going to be able to enter the Masifta Derekiah. He's someone that's going to be able to learn Torah in the next world. If somebody supports a Talmud Chacham, I think the Pshat's Pashat, because we know that someone that's Machzik Torah has a Chelik in Torah as well. So if somebody supports Bnei Torah, if somebody supports learning, so now he's an Ashrei Misha Balakam V'Tamudah B'Yadai. If someone's Ashrei Misha Balakam V'Tamudah B'Yadai, what's the reward, said the Hafla? The reward is he's going to be able to enter the Masifta Derekia. Zoyche v'yoyshev v'yeshiva shalmaylo. The hein hei advarim. Rabbi Yochanan in saying, mamish what the Hafla said in Parsha Shoiftim. The Hafla was talking from the Yisachar perspective. But there's another side of it. There's the Zvulun perspective. Ki Yodua and the Svarim and the Chafetz Chaim talked a lot about this. And there's a Havas Chesed that if a person supports Torah, see now he has a Chelik in Torah as well. So just like Asher Misha Bala Kambet Hamud B'Yad, for someone that learns Torah, there's an idea of Asher Misha Bala Kambet Hamud B'Yad for somebody that supports Torah. And if that's the case, kolamatom leikis talmidei chachamim, what's the schus? It's Ashrei Misha Balakam V'Tamudah B'Yadai, like the Hafla said, zoicha v'yoshev b'yeshiva shalmaila. He's going to have a ticket to enter yeshiva shalmaila. I was thinking that we mentioned very quickly on Daf Nun that the Marsha says, what's the lashon Ashrei Misha Balakam V'Talmudah B'Yadai? Why B'Yadai? So the Marsha said, B'Yadai means Ksavyat. That there's an Indian that a person should write Chedushei Torah. And if a person writes Chedushei Torah, there's an idea of Ashrei Misha Balakam V'Talmudah B'Yadai. It's a gewaldige Sach for a person to be able to give his Talmudah B'Yadai. But I was thinking maybe based on Rabbi Yochanan's memra of Kalamatam Leik, his Talmudah Chachamim, Zoicha V'Yoshev, Be Yeshiva Shalmaila. The Pasuk says, by the mitzvah of Tzedakah, Ki Pasoyach Tiftach, Es Yod Choloi. There's an emphasis on the Yad. Because how do you give Tzedakah? You give Tzedakah with your hands. Ashrei Misha Balakan V'Talmudah B'Yadai. If someone's Talmudah B'Yadai, he wrote checks. The person that came and he gave Tzedakah, Talmudah B'Yadai, that's also a Bechina of Talmudah B'Yadai. And if somebody does that, Zoichet B'Yoshe B'Yeshiva Shalmaila. So there's Ashrei Misha Balakan V'Talmudah B'Yadai on the Yisachar side. And then there's Ashrei Misha Balakan V'Talmudah B'Yadai on the Zvulun side. And that's V'Talmudah B'Yadai, hasn't kipasayach tiftach as yatchalik. That's just a little bit of drush, a little bit of a nilsa de bezdichasa, just to get into some of the rain. And that is, the Gemara said that Tudus Ishraimi said the following drasha. Oid zu darash Tudus Ishraimi. He said, Ma roch nani mishol vazariya, shemasur atzman al tushas akshem lekiv shanesh. The Vuchan Netzar gave Hanani mishol vazariya an ultimatum. He said, either you're going to obey my orders, everyone's bowing down to the cellar, you're going to bow down to it. If not, I'm going to kill you. How am I going to kill you? I'm going to throw you into a kiv shanesh. Hanani mishol vazariya were prepared to jump at the kiv shanesh. They did it and they were saved. And Tudus Ishraimi said the following drasha. He said, Ma roch al kocha. Meaning, what was the motivation? What got them to feel that this was the right thing to do? So the Gemara says, Nasu kal v'chaymer v'asman. They made a kal v'chaymer from the tzvardim. Ma, the tzvardim that have no mitzvah of kiddushas Hashem. But when it came to the Maka of Tzvardeya, the pasuk says, "Va'olu uvo beveisechu v'chader mishkov chavam mitosechu beisavodechu v'amecho uvesanu recho uvemisharu isecho." They were prepared to jump into the fire, right? Vayas Hashem kidvar Moshe. The pasuk says they did everything they were supposed to do. So the pasuk says that they were willing to go ahead and they were willing to jump into the fire. So madach they who were not mitzvah and kedushas Hashem willing to jump into the fire. So kal v'chaymer us who have a mitzvah of kedushas Hashem certainly. We should have an obligation, and this is something that we should do. So based on the Kal V'chaymer, the Tzvardim, they jumped into the Kiv Shanesh. V'kamo kumasin nishtabru. Many pens were broken to explain this Gemara. So many kashas on this Gemara. The first kasha is Tosfos kasha. Tosfos over here, Mesechtes Psachim, Daf Nun Gimel Amud Beis. And this Tosfos is also a Mesechtes Ksubis, Perek Elu Nairis, Daf Lamed Gimel Amud Beis. This Tosfos is also Mesechtes Avodah Zarah, Daf Gimel Amud Aleph. And Tosfos Beshinui Nusach Tzas from place to place asks the following question: Hanani Mishol Vazariah needed a Kal V'chaymer from frogs to know that the right thing to do was to jump into a fire and not to bow down to the tzela? We know that there's three aveiros where the halach is yeharig v'al yaver, where if somebody puts a gun to your head and says, do the aveira, I kill you, unfortunately, you have to take the latter option. Why? Because there's three aveiros that are so chomer that it's yeharig v'al yaver. Avodah zarah, gilui arayah, shvichas damim. Hanani mishol v'azayah being told to bow down to a tzela. It's Avodah Zarah. So if it's Avodah Zarah, it's Yehoreg of Ayav. It's afraid to say Kashna. Why did Hanani Mishol v'Azayah need a Kal V'Chaymer? L'chair, it's Poshet. On a Kal V'Chaymer, it shouldn't have been so obvious that this was something that they had to do. It's Avodah Zarah. Avodah Zarah is one of the Gimel Averis Chamuros with Allah is Yehoreg of Ayav. V'Oid, this story happened with Farhesya. It happened in the presence of all of Klal Yisrael. With Farhesya, even for a mitzvah kala, even for something that's not a Avodah Zarah, Gilui Arayah, Shfichas Damim, where you are being publicly forced to violate a principle in the Torah, Nalachi is you have to give up your life. It's Yehoreg of Ayavar. So number one, it's a Avodah Zarah. Number two, it's Mifar Hesya. That means Hanani Mishol v'Azayah were obligated to give up their lives. It means what all the other Yidden did was wrong. It wasn't some Midas Chasidus of Hanani Mishol v'Azayah. So if that's the case, Freik Toisvis, a Gevaldik Akasha, he says, I don't understand how or why Hanani Mishol v'Azariah needed a Kal V'Chaymer. It shouldn't have been obvious based on halacha that this was something that they had to do. The Gemara Masechtes Ksubas Daf Lamed Gimel Lamed Beis says, Omar Rav, Umoli Nogdua L'Hanani Mishol v'Azariah Polchu L'Tzalma. Nebuchadnezzar was trying to get Hanani Mishol v'Azariah to bow down to the Tzela. He couldn't do it. Why not? Because he told them, if you don't, I'll throw you into the Kiv Shanesh. And they were willing to be thrown into the Kiv Shanesh. But Rav said something very, very mysterious. It's one of the most difficult members in Shas. Rav said that you should know Nebuchadnezzar could have, had he known, gotten Hanani Mishol v'Azariah to bow down to the Tzela. You know what he could have done? He could have beat them. He could have tortured them. Had he tortured Hanani Mishol v'Azariah, they would have succumbed to the pressure, and they would have bowed down. But he never tortured them. He just threw them into the Kiv Shanesh. Right? To die Al Kiddush Hashem sometimes easier than living Al Kiddush Hashem. And to die, which takes a second, that's something they were prepared to do. But to go through the torture of Umole Nogdua, L'chanani Mishol v'Azariah, Rav mysteriously said, Polchu L'tzalma. But Tosfos says that besides for the fact that it's so difficult to understand why Rav would say that, but how could that be true? It's Yehoreg v'Ayavar. A person is mechuyev to do whatever he needs to do, not to be Eved Avodah Zarah. So why in the world would Rav have said that Umoli Nogdua L'Chanani Mishol v'Azariah Polchu L'Tzalma? Says Tosfos, you have to say that this Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar wasn't really Avodah Zarah. It wasn't Avodah Zarah. This was a statue that somehow was symbolic of Nebuchadnezzar. And Nebuchadnezzar got a fix for whatever reason, when people bow down to it. He got tremendous kavod from people bowing down to his tzelem. But it wasn't Avodah Zarah. And if it wasn't Avodah Zarah, Zog Taisus, all the kashas on me Yosef. If it had been Avodah Zarah, it would have been Yoharig Vayavar. But it wasn't. This was just an inyan of being Mechab and Nebuchadnezzar. And being that it wasn't Avodah Zarah, it was just a question of being Mechab and Nebuchadnezzar. So Chananya, Mishael, Azariah were not obligated to halacha to jump into the fire. That's why Rav said, Moli Nogdul, Chananya, Mishael, Azariah, Pochel, Etzalma. Why? Because at the end of the day, this is something they would have felt that, Lamaisa, I'm not Mechuyev to do it. So, yeah, to jump into a kivshan eish? Yes. But umali nagdula chanani mishal v'azayah, that already pochel atzalma, that's not something they would have been comfortable doing. However, at the same time, they felt that the right thing to do was to give up their lives. But they weren't sure if they had a basis for it. They needed a precedent for it. And the precedent was the Tzvardeya. That from the Tzvardeya, they saw that the Tzvardim were willing to give up their lives. It wasn't a question of Avodah Zarah. They were willing to give up their lives. So Chananya, Mishael v'Azariah made a Kal v'Chomer, and they said that we're willing to do the same thing. And Tosfos says, I'll bring you a Raya Brura to my Pshat. Because the Gemara says in the beginning of Masechtas Avodah Zarah, that La'asin Lavoi is going to be this major Shakla Vitaria between the Umay Sa'olam and their representatives, their attorneys, their council, and HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right? They're going to want schar for all the things that they helped the Jews do somehow. Shaitim Shaba'olam, we all know the Gemara. So the Gemara is going to say that in this major epic court case that's going to take place in the end of days, HaKadosh Baruch Hu is going to call witnesses to the stand to testify on behalf of different Yidden throughout the generations and the way they were Mekadosh Shem Shemayim. Just two excerpts from this Gemara. Yavai Nimrod. Nimrod's going to come, V'yoyed, he's going to say Eidus, Be'avram, about Avram Avinu, Shalai Yavad Avodah Zarah. Nimrod's going to come, he's going to say Eidus about Avram Avinu, that he didn't worship Avodah Zarah. Yavai Nebuchadnezzar, Nebuchadnezzar is going to come say Eidus, V'yoyed, he's going to say Eidus, Be'chanani Mishal V'azariah, Shalai Yishtach V'Lutzelah. Yavai Nimrod, V'yoyed Be'avram, Shalai Yavad Avodah Zarah. Yavai Nebuchadnezzar, he's going to say Eidus about Chanan Mishal V'Azariah, Shlo Yishtach V'Lutzam. Zok Toisvis, you hear the Diyak? How come by Avram Avinu it says Avodah Zarah, and by Chanan Mishal V'Azariah it just says the Tzelem? How come it doesn't say the same word Avodah Zarah? So Toisvis says Vais Tois, because the Tzelem of Nebuchadnezzar was not Avodah Zarah. Because had it been Avodah Zarah, then you would have no Umoli Nogdua, then Chanan Mishal V'Azariah would not have needed a Kal V'Chomer from the Tzvardim. Avram Avinu, yeah, the Getchkes of Nimrod, the infamous Getchkes, Terach, that was Avodah Zarah. So Yavai, Nimrod V'Yad B'Avram Shalai Yavad Avodah Zarah. However, Yavai, Nebuchadnezzar V'Yad B'Chanan Mishal V'Azariah Shalai Yishtach Avodah Zarah. Either way, this is Toisvis Kasha, that why did Chanan Mishal V'Azariah need a Kal V'Chomer? Weren't they obligated, al pi the halachas of Kiddush Hashem, to give up their lives? And Tosfos Teretz says, had it been Avodah Zarah, yes. But this wasn't Avodah Zarah. This was the question of being Mechab and Nebuchadnezzar. I mean that this was only a question of being Mechab and Nebuchadnezzar. So it's for that reason they felt that maybe this is something that they are not obligated to do. They made a Kal V'Chomer from the frogs. Once they made a Kal V'Chomer from the frogs, then it was game over. Then they understood that this was already, if the frogs were not Mitzvah Al Kiddush Hashem, they gave up their lives. So this is something that we're going to do as well. I was thinking very quickly to maybe Shtel Tzu, the Heilige Bnei Yisoscha, the Bnei Yisoscha that we've mentioned over the years, not recently, but over the years we mentioned the Bnei Yisoscha many times, who says, we know that there are Yud Gimel Midei Shal Rachamim, HaKadosh Baruch Hu's Noyeg with the world, with 13 Midois of Rachamim. There are also Yud Gimel Midois, Sha'atayr Nidrashas Behem. So said the Heilige Bnei Yisoscha, he brings it from the Mizritcha Magid, that when a Yid learns Torah, so he is learning the Torah that was gedarshened with the Yud Gimel Midos Sha'atayr Nidrashas Behem, he will merit the Rachamim, the Yud Gimel Midos Shal Rachamim. So there's a Bris Shloish Esrei. There's 13 Lo'umas 13. There's the Yud Gimel Midos Sha'atayr Nidrashas Behem, that's Torah. And then there's the Yud Gimel Midos Shal Rachamim. When a Yid learns Torah, so he taps into the Yud Gimel Midos Sha'atayr Nidrashas Behem, so that somehow creates an energy, and that allows him now to tap in to the Yud Gimel Midos Shal Rachamim. But the Mizritcha Magid took it a step further. He said that if you would sit down and you would write 1 through 13, all the Yud Gimel Midos Shal Rachamim on one side, and on the other side, the Yud Gimel Midos Sha'atayr Nidrashas Behem, each one corresponds to the other. Meaning, each one of the Yud Gimel Midos Shal HaTorah Nidrashas Behem corresponds to one of the Yud Gimel Midos Shal Rachamim. We just go in order. The first through 13 on one side, the first through 13 on the other side, they're going to correspond. So the Magen Midrash said that what's the first of the Yud Gimel Midos Shehatar Nidreshes Bahem? It's Kalvachan. What's the first of the Yud Gimel Midos Shorachamim? It's Kael. Hashem, Hashem, Kael, Racham, Vachan. It's really a big Shaila, Tosis and Rosh Hashanah, which is the first of the Yud Gimel Midos Shorachamim. But the Magid said that it's Kael. So he said Kael corresponds to Kalvachamim. So he said a Dover Nifla. He said Kael is the shame of Refuah. When Miriam was sick and Moshe Rabbeinu davened to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, so what did Moshe Rabbeinu say? Ona, Kael na, Refuah na la. The Tefillah Kitzara. Kael, Moshe Rabbeinu used the name Kael, Refuah na la, send the Refuah to Miriam. So Kael is the shame of Refuah. So says the Magen Mezrich, if Kael is the shame for Refuah, and Kael corresponds to Kalvachomer, so when a person darshens a Kalvachomer, he invokes, he's able to somehow unlock, tap in to the midah of Kael. And said the Magid, a dover nifla, and the Ben Yoyada brings this in a whole bunch of places, that you see from here that Kalvachomer is a skula. Kalvachomer is a skula for Refuah. So if a person, Rahman al-Tzman, needs a Refuah, there's a skula nifla for Refuah. And what is that? That's Kalvachomer. And said the Magid, that's why after Moshe Rabbeinu said, Ono Kael no Refuah no la, what Hashem tell Moshe? Vavir Yorek, Yorek b'fanah. If somebody was in trouble with their father, so it could be for 7 days we'd be locked up. Kalvachomer now with HaKadosh Baruch Hu, you should be locked for 40 days. What did Abish to say? Darshan a Kalvachomer. You're davening for Refuah? You're saying Kael? You know what you do? You have to darshan a Kalvachomer. Because when you darshan a Kalvachomer, what you do is you ma'ir the shame of Kael. The Svar Makdosh say that not only is the shame of Kael mesugal for Refuah, but really it's mesugal for all Chesed Elyon. We say in Shemayna Esrei that HaKadosh Baruch Hu is Kael Elyon, and immediately afterwards, Goymel Chasadim Toivim. Hashem is Kael Elyon, and he's Goymel Chasadim Toivim. The name Kael in Svarim HaKadoshim is the shame of Chesed Elyon. There's a certain level of Chesed that's associated with the shame Kael. So it's Mesugal for Refuah, and it's the shame of Chesed Elyon. Maybe, Al-Pi Pnimiyas HaTorah, Al-Pi the Heilige Rei from the Bnei Yisoschar, it's true. Hanani Mishal V'Azariah could have, and maybe would have jumped into the Kivshon Ha'esh even without a Kal V'Chomer. They didn't have to learn from the Tzvardim, but they wanted to be Ma'ir the Mid of Kael. They understood the level of risk they were putting their lives into. They understood that in order for them to make it out alive from this Kivshon Ha'esh, they would have to tap in to a Midah of Kael, the Midah of Kael Elyon, the Midah of Goymel Chasadim Toivim, of the highest level of Chesed, the Midah of Refuah, that literally burning in the Kivshon Ha'esh and nothing's going to happen to them. So you know what they did? Nasu Kal V'Chomer. Just like the Eibush told Moshe Rabbeinu, Tarshin the Kal V'Chomer. Why? Because by Tarshin the Kal V'Chomer, the Magid said that's going to be Ma'ir, the Midah of Kael, which is the Midah that they needed. So too, by going ahead and Tarshining this Kal V'Chomer, this is going to trigger it. But either way, it could be that's the aside. It was because of the Midah of it was to trigger the Midah of Kael, and it was by triggering the Midah of Kael that Hananiah, Mishael, and Azariah felt they would have a special skula. It's like this, by them jumping into the fire, they wouldn't be harmed. Just to move it along. It's Yadua, the Velt asks Akasha that Kanani Mishal Vazaria made a Kalvachomer from the Tzvardim. Madach the Tzvardim, they had no mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, they jumped into the fire. It's a Kalvachomer, us, we have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. We should certainly jump into the fire. What's the bones of the Kalvachomer? The Tzvardim had no mitzvah to jump into the fire. And they did. They didn't even have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. But they did it anyways. Like an Eina Mitzvah of Isa. We, who have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem, so certainly this is something that we should do. So Makshama Olam, that the Pasuk says very, very clearly, by the Makkah of Tzvardeya, the Shoretz HaYor Tzvardim, V'olu, the Tzvardim are going to come, and they're going to enter your house, U'bechadar Mishkofcha, V'al Mitasecha, U'beveis Havadecha, U've'amecha, U'vetanurecha, U'mesharisecha. The Pasuk says that Hashem commanded the frogs to do all this. That means the frogs were told they had to jump into the fire. So Vazak to Gemara, they're not mitzvah al kiddush Hashem. Maybe they don't have this general mitzvah of a chay behem. They don't have this general mitzvah of an ikdashti b'soich b'nei Yisrael. But here they were told clearly, you have to jump into the fire. So if they were jumping into the fire, they did have a mitzvah. So if they had a mitzvah, what was the Kal V'Chomer? The Kal V'Chomer is the frogs don't have a mitzvah, we have a mitzvah of Kiddush Hashem. It's not true. These frogs had a mitzvah. They have more of a mitzvah than you do. They were told specifically, you're supposed to jump into the fire. The Velt says that the Vilna Goyen, when he was a little boy, met the Shagas Aryeh. Shagas Aryeh was old. He was a contemporary of the Vilna Goyen, but he was also older. I think he was 35 years older than the Vilna Goyen. So the Shagas Aryeh was a younger man and met the Vilna Goyen as a very young boy. And he asked him this question. And the Vilna Gaon on the spot told him, he says, no, this is the Teretz. It's true. The Tzvardim were told that v'olu ubo b'veisrecha, u'v'chadar mishkovcha, v'amitosecha, u'v'veisavodechu, v'amecha, u'v'sanu rech m'sharisecha. They were told they were going to have to be dancing all over the place. But there was no specific Tzvardeya was told that he has to jump into the fire. And each Tzvardeya, each frog could have said, well, I have to jump into the fire, was b'nech m'shigah? Let me go better, I'll be b'veisrecha, I'll be in the kitchen, I'll be in the attic. Why do I have to be in the fire? Those Tzvardim that decided that they want to jump into the fire, they never had a mitzvah to jump into the fire. As it relates to the fire, they were already in Eina Mitzvah Vaisa. Or being that they were already in Eina Mitzvah Vaisa, so for them it comes out what they were doing was really going out of their way. That was the Kal V'chaimer. It's true that Tzvardim as a group, as a unit, and a Hanami, they had a mitzvah to go ahead and do it. But each Tzvardeya didn't have a mitzvah. I mean that each Tzvardeya didn't have a mitzvah. Each one could have pointed to the other. You'll jump into the fire and I'll get it next time, right? They didn't have to do that. From the fact that the Tzvardim jumped into the fire, even though they individually didn't have a mitzvah, that was the Kal V'chaimer, that was the Nasu Kal V'chaimer, that's what Hanani Mishael V'Azariah understood this. But there's another kasha that the Velt asked. I saw this kasha in the Kli Chemda, and the Kli Chemda says, Makshima Oilam, that this is a Velt kasha. The Kli Chemda brings a kasha, and that is, the Gemara was trying to prove whether Tudus Nishroimi was a tzaddik, or maybe he was not a tzaddik. Chum didn't want to start with him. Is it because he was so chashev, or maybe to the contrary? So the Gemara said, I'll prove it to you. Toshma, oizu darash Tudus Ishroimi. Tudus Ishroimi had a drasha. They made a kalvachayim. So Tudus Ishroimi's drasha, we see that what? That he must have been chashev. Because had he not been chashev, how would he have been able to say such a drasha? Meaning, the Toshma is being pushed at the Ibai. The Ibai was, is he chashev or not? The answer is yes. How do I know? Because he said a chashev v'drasha. If you say a chashev v'drasha, must be you're a gavra rabba, right? What was the lashon Agamar? Tudus Hishroimi gavra rabba hava, a balagroifim hava. Must be he was a gavra rabba from the fact that he said the drasha. So the Kli Chemda brings a real Polish akasha. He says a chashdenish. It's mavur from the lashon of the Gemara. Oitzu darash tudus Hishroimi. This was another drasha of tudus Hishroimi. Meaning, it sounds like there was a first drasha, and this was a second drasha of tudus Hishroimi. This was just the under drasha. So he says, if this was the under drasha, that means there was a first one. So why did Gemara bring the second one? Why not bring the first one? This is the kashan he brings. So he says, why are you bringing the second drasha? Bring already the first drasha. We're just trying to prove that he said a drasha. So how do I know he said a drasha? Well, oizu. He said another shtickle tire. Something wrong with the first shtickle tire. So why are we bringing the oizu darash? Why are we not bringing the first drasha? A bumpy kashan. He brings a pilpul from his son who had passed away already. He says he wants his son to be zoichet as if sois of doivavois bekever. That's what he writes in the shtickle. So I'm going to say over a pilpul that my son said over, and then he asks kashas on it. Mamish dvorim the flom. Right here in Parshas Va'era. But I heard from Shimon Greenfield, he told me the name of Elia Brudni Shlita, that he once spoke at an asifa for Rabbein, and he said over the following hergish. He said that what was the Gemara's raya from this drasha of Tudus Ishroimi that he was a gavra poshit? He darshed in the drasha. But he added an oimek. He said that what does it mean that a tzvardeya had the sensitivity to be moist and nefesh, to jump into a kivshon eitz, right? Each tzvardeya didn't have to be the one, said the Vilna Gaon. So from the fact that they were willing to jump in, that meant that they were giving themselves up, even though that wasn't something that we were really obligated to do. He said, what does that mean? The frogs. A tzvardeya has this understanding of giving up his life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu, I'm willing to give everything up for my Creator. Rabbi Akiva said, "Kol yom ayayisi mitzta'er, when am I going to be able to be mekayim this mitzvah?" These are frogs. They reached the madrig of Rabbi Akiva. What does that mean? How can a frog have this heritage that this is the right thing to do? So Rabbi Brudni said as follows. He said, "Vais and vais tois is that the mitzias and the feeling that a person has to give up his life al kiddush Hashem is not a dover sichli. It's a dover tivi. Because kol mashabara kadosh baruch hu baylamai loy bara ela lechvaydai. And a person was created to sanctify the name of Hashem. And if that's the case, every single creation in this world was born. Elikim asas adam yashav ein bikshu chashmein as rabim. Every single creation was born with a hergish that I'm willing to give up everything for my Creator because I know who He is. And I'll do everything that I need to do. Problems, we mess ourselves up somewhere along the way. But the truth is, be'etzim al pi teva, every single being that exists is shaykh to giving up his life al kiddush Hashem. Litzvardim with moisa nefesh al kiddush Hashem, not because they made a sichliyistik cheshbon, because naturally, the mitzvah was their creation. They recognized that they were created by a creator, and they're willing to give up everything and anything for their creator. So Rabbi Yehudni said that as the Chachamim were trying to figure out who this Tudus Yishroimi is, they got together. You buy a lohu. This is not me, Rav. Mamish, Ravina, Rav, Ashi, Abaye, and Rav. Right? Stami, buy a lohu, who? Abaye and Rav. So Abaye and Rav sat together. And they said, who was this Tudus Yishroimi? Let's see if we can figure it out. And somebody said, I'm going to tell you a drasha from Tudus Yishroimi. Nishta Erste Drasha. Erste Drasha was a nice drasha. It was Gishmakare. I'm going to tell you something Tudus Yishroimi said. He said that the Tzvardim that jumped into the fire, they were giving themselves up on Kiddush Hashem. What does that mean? A Tzvardim is giving himself up on Kiddush Hashem. The Teretz is that they understood, because every creation, everything that was created with Azah Hergish, with Azah Dveikus HaKadosh Baruch Hu, that you're willing to give up your life for HaKadosh Baruch Hu. They said, Tudus Yishroimi said that Shrasha. He had such a sensitivity. He had such a deep, deep Hergish, an understanding of what it means that we were put on this world to be Mekadosh Shem Shemayim, such a deep understanding of Kol Mashabara Kadosh Baruch Hu Bayilamai My Bar Elach Vayde. Oh, as a Gavur Rabba, that's a Gavur Rabba. The Gavur Rabba was not proven. The checkmate was not from the fact that he said a drasha. He said another drasha. Chazal didn't even bring the first drasha. But Oidzu Darash, the raya was from the second drasha, not the fact that there was a drasha, but the content of it and the hergish of it, the sensitivity that a person can naturally, every single human is willing to give up everything. Hakadosh Baruch Hu, not a gavur rabbi can zogen azad drasha. That was what he said. Not a gavur rabbi can zogen azad drasha, and that was the toshma. The toshma was that he was a gavur rabbi, not from the fact that he said a drasha, but it was from the content of the drasha. Just to be messiah with one last thing, and that is, so we're talking about the tzvardim, talking about the frogs. The shara tzayyur tzvardim. The pasuk says, "Va'olu uval beveisecha uvechadam mishkavcha v'almitasecha." So Nativu was that there were going to be frogs everywhere, which meant some frogs were also going to have to be in the oven. And there were certain frogs that they took the initiatives, and they were the ones that Hanani Mishal Vazari Darshan the Kal V'chaymer from, and they jumped into the fire. The Pasuk says at the very end, Vayetze, after Moshe Rabbeinu, like, Pari started screaming, and Moshe Rabbeinu started screaming, right? This is the one place you find that Moshe Rabbeinu davened very, very loudly, right? The Pasuk says, Vayitzak, this is the only place you find this big discussion. Vayitzak Moshe Hashem, why? Pashup Shad is, it's because the Tzvardim were making so much noise, as I get either, that the only way Moshe Rabbeinu, well, he had to hear himself daven. So he had to talk even louder. He had to talk louder than the frogs. You picture the scene, right? So Vayetze Moshe Vaharami and Paroi, and Moshe Rabbeinu screaming, he can't even hear himself. So Vayetze Moshe Al Hashem, Al Dvar Atzvardim Ashasham Lepari, Ashasham Lepari, Vayas Hashem Kidvar Moshe, Vayamusu Atzvardim, and the Tzvardim died. Min Abatim, from the houses, Umin Achatzeros, from the Chatzeros, Umin Asadois, and from the field. So I saw in the Moshe of Skenim, that's from the Bali Tosfos, and then I saw it also in the Das Skenim of the Bali Tosfos. I didn't see any of the other Rishonim say this. But the Bali Tosfos both said the same thing. Said the Bali Tosfos, Vayamusu at Tzvardim. Which Tzvardim died? The Tzvardim that were in the houses, the Tzvardim that were in the Chatzeros, and the Tzvardim that were in the Sadois, Veloimin Atarum. However, the Tzvardim that were inside the Tanurim, that were inside the ovens, they didn't die. You know why? Because they gave up their lives on Kedushas Hashem. And because they gave up their lives on Kedushas Hashem, they never died. That's the rest of the story. That, I don't remember being told. That all the Tzvardim died. But not from the Tanurim. They lived. And that's, of course, the Yisoid that we always speak out from the Chasam Sofer. That a person doesn't lose when he gives up for the Eivishta. And all the ones that they made, all the Cheshboinus, let him jump into the fire, they all died. But which Tzvardim were the ones that lived? It was Dafka, the ones that went into the Tanurim. Because just like Hananiah, Mishael, Azariah, right? They made a Kal V'chaymer. Nasu Kal V'chaymer from the Tzvardim. What did they see from the Tzvardim? Tzvardim gave up their lives on Kedushas Hashem. But it could be they saw something else from the Tzvardim. They saw that you can make it out alive too. And they understood that if person gives himself up on Kedushas Hashem, he can survive. And maybe that gave them some of the betochen that they needed to ultimately trigger this miracle when they jumped into the Kivshan Eish. But either way, the Kal V'chaymer wasn't only on the act of jumping into the fire, but there was a little bit of an oimik over here. The same miracle that happened with Hananya, Mishael, Azariah, B'toich, Kivshon, HaEsh, is what happened with the Tzfarda.